You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's a good morning and welcome back to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio. Well, health is one of the most important things. In actual fact, if we're healthy, it means a better life, a better quality of life. But there's one thing that caught my attention of late. They say that, according to statistics, 25,000 deaths annually in South Africa are caused by a stroke. And one statistic said about 220 people die or attacked by a stroke in South Africa. But anyway, these are numbers that are here and there. But we want to understand, why is stroke among the top 10 causes of death in South Africa? And to discuss that with us is Dr. Noctula Mayaba. Hello, Dr. Mayaba, and how are you? Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Tamu. Thank you so much for having me, and Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you very much. Are we a nation that's stressed? Because my suspicion is that stroke is one of the causes for stroke is stress.
Yes. So there is high levels of stress within the population, but unfortunately, with stress, you know, it's not something that we can measure, you know, when it comes to how stressed people are and how often it happens. But it is something that we are seeing more often within the population, and it's not just causing things like strokes. It's causing a lot of other, you know, conditions as well, heart problems, general health problems as well. So in a way, it is indirectly related to strokes, but, you know, we can't say for sure that it's a direct cause of a stroke, but we are seeing, you know, people who are more stressed with everyday life and suffering more medical problems because of it.
But that's very true. But from a medical point of view, what is a stroke? Because, you know, we're so used to this terminology. Many of us think we understand what a stroke is. But from a medical point of view, what's a stroke?
Okay, so I think one definition that I like that most medical centers are trying to use to, you know, get the population up to scratch with what a stroke is. So basically, another word for a stroke is a brain attack. So a stroke is basically to the brain what a heart attack is to the heart. You know, and we'll go into a bit of detail later about the different kinds of strokes. But yeah, basically the stroke is like a heart attack, but for your brain. So we call it a brain attack. So that's what it is. But we'll go into detail about how it happens and what are the causes and all of that.
And when I looked at the Heart Foundation of South Africa, they indicated that there are types of strokes. And I didn't, and you've actually alluded to it, I didn't even know that there were types of stroke. To me, a stroke is a stroke. So, but maybe let's just break it down, the types of strokes.
Okay, so strokes typically present the same. So how we like to explain it to the general public is we'll discuss the symptoms of stroke. So they generally present the same, but the two main types of categories of stroke is what we call an ischemic stroke. So an ischemic stroke is when you have a clot in the brain. So a part of the brain is not receiving oxygen because there's a clot. So oxygen and blood is not flowing to that part of the brain. It's typically the most common cause of stroke. And then the other type of stroke, which is less common, but also quite severe, and, you know, it's quite a high incidence of fatality, is what we call a hemorrhagic stroke. So a hemorrhagic stroke is the same concept. So there is no blood or oxygen to a part of the brain, but the reason is because there's the bleed in the brain. And we'll talk again about the causes of the different types of strokes. But the one stroke is where you bleed into the brain, and the other stroke is where you have a clot that prevents blood from getting to the brain.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And I think I've read also on something called a mini stroke. I thought to myself, a stroke is a stroke. Why is it called mini?
So a mini stroke is, in medical terms, something we call a transient ischemic attack. So what that means is, yes, it's a stroke, but the symptoms don't last. So the timeline that we normally use for what we call a TIA, which is the transient ischemic attack, is 24 hours. So you present exactly the same as a stroke. So you have, you know, speech impairment, and, you know, you aren't able to use parts of your limbs, but those symptoms resolve within 24 hours. And there's a few reasons why the symptoms resolve. But that's what we call, can be termed a mini stroke because the symptoms go away after 24 hours.
Okay. And then the other question also is a stroke only limited to adults?
So no, so based on the two different kinds of strokes, what we're seeing commonly is that, a hemorrhagic stroke, because of the causes, is more common in adults. But as an ischemic stroke can happen in any age, it's more common in adults because they have other medical conditions that may contribute to an ischemic stroke. But it's not only exclusive to adults. And when we talk about the causes, we'll explain why it can happen in younger patients or in children even, and what the underlying causes for that are.
And before we get to the causes, are the signs that one is likely to get a stroke? Because I believe the body is wired in such a way that there's always something that tells you that something is amiss.
Yes. So I wouldn't say they are necessarily physical signs that, you are prone to getting a stroke, but we have what we call predisposing factors. So predisposing factors are things that make you more likely to get a stroke. So it's not necessarily how you present, it's things that you have already and you are aware of that can make you more likely to get a stroke. So things that would include things like diabetes, having high cholesterol levels, having high blood pressure, or having a heart condition, even, those are predisposing factors. But you may be 100% normal, you may be functioning at your normal level, but those make you more prone to getting a stroke. And unfortunately, by the time you start to get signs and symptoms of a stroke, that's already considered a stroke. So, you don't have the signs a few weeks or days before. The only sign, off the top of my head that may maybe allude you to the fact that you might be getting a stroke or might be predisposed to a stroke is maybe a headache, but other signs, usually if you start to get signs and symptoms, those are the early signs of a stroke. So if the signs don't last, then it's what we consider a transient or a mini stroke in that case.
But then you touched on something, and I probably just want you maybe to clarify it a bit further for us when you spoke about, signs. You spoke about a headache, and I think I've seen somewhere as I was reading that there are different types of headaches. I think about 15 of them. Is there a particular type of a headache that is associated or linked to a stroke?
So yes, yeah, so it's the pattern of the headaches. So there's I'm sure the neurologists who are the specialists in this field can give you a long list of the different kinds of headaches. But generally with a stroke headache, what we find is that it's a headache limited to one side of the brain. People get things like tension headaches, migraine headaches, and those have their own way of presenting. Sometimes it's a frontal headache, sometimes it's all around. You feel like you have a band around your head. So there are different ways that they present, but with a stroke headache, because of how, it presents and how strokes present, is usually limited to one side of the brain. And it may be related to visual disturbances, and some kind of slurred speech or anything, that may allude to you maybe having the early signs of a stroke in that case.
I think one always ought to be aware of, all these things and not take them for granted. Not to mean we should always run to the hospital for every headache. Now, let's maybe just jump into the causes, because I think once we can look at the causes, it might lead us to the treating of a stroke or the prevention, if there's such a thing. But you are the medical specialist. You'll tell us if if there's something called prevention of a stroke. But let's start with the causes.
Okay, so I think the number one cause of strokes that I've seen from experience and in South Africa would be high blood pressure, or in most cases, uncontrolled blood pressure. And we've done a topic on blood pressure, and unfortunately, most people who have a stroke due to blood pressure are either not taking their treatment or don't know that they have high blood pressure, and then unfortunately present with a stroke. So that would be the number one cause of a stroke. And when we spoke about the different kinds of stroke, high blood pressure, it can cause both types of stroke, But what we find is with a hemorrhagic stroke, which is where you bleed into the brain, that's usually caused by uncontrolled blood pressure. And it's the more severe type because, unfortunately, once you bleed into the brain, sometimes depending on the kind of bleed you have, we either don't intervene, or if it's in an area of the brain where, it's causing what we call mass effect, so it's taking up space in your brain, you might even need to go for surgery and see a neurosurgeon, so high blood pressure is definitely on top of the list. And then the other causes of stroke are things like diabetes and high cholesterol. So those two conditions generally contribute more to the ischemic stroke, which is where you have clots in the brain, and that's because your blood vessels, if it's high cholesterol, it's because your blood vessels, you have what we call atherosclerosis, which is where you have narrowed blood vessels. So it's you're more prone to getting a stroke because your blood vessels are already narrow due to the fat deposits within the blood vessels. And diabetes, an interesting fact about diabetes is that a lot of people think, it's just about high levels of blood sugar. But in the medical field, we consider diabetes a vascular disease, because it causes a lot of, it affects your blood vessels, and leads to things like strokes, kidney disease, and heart attacks. So it's for us, it's not just about, oh, your sugar's too high, it's going to affect your organs. It's because we know what diabetes does to the blood vessels, and that's where the danger comes in. So
And
diabetes, yes.
yes, you can continue.
Oh, okay. And then I was going to say one of the less common but also frequent causes of strokes is heart problems. So we see this especially in the elderly population, especially people who have had previous heart attacks or have what we call arrhythmias, which is an abnormal beating of your heart. And unfortunately, this is where we can also count younger patients or children, because some children are born with underlying heart conditions, and those conditions can predispose them to having strokes as well.
But you know, when you spoke about blood pressure, and I think I've spoken to you about this previously, and one of the biggest challenges that we have, and I don't think it's South Africa only, the people not knowing that they've got a very high blood pressure. And maybe let's just recap on the signs or the symptoms of high blood pressure. For maybe somebody may just be listening to us and they're saying, what are the signs and symptoms of high blood pressure? And so that I can immediately go and get some medical attention.
So blood pressure, unfortunately, is one of those things that we consider a silent killer, because it can go undetected for many, many years. And unfortunately, it's only when it's at the extreme end that you start to get symptoms. So some of the early signs of high blood pressure is headaches. So that also kind of is around the same topic as strokes, because if you're having frequent headaches with an unexplained cause, it might mean maybe you need to have your blood pressure checked. Especially in South Africa, if you're above the age of 40 as well, it might be one of the signs. And other signs which are less common are things like chest pain, so chest pain, if you're getting chest pain, especially left-sided chest pain, it might be related to an underlying heart problem, but it might be exacerbated by high blood pressure. And then other things, we can count visual disturbances. If your vision's not as good as it used to be, it might be because the blood vessels in your eyes have been affected by blood pressure. Other things are lower back pain, which people might confuse with, muscular problems or spasms, and they think maybe it's how they sit and so on, but it might be an underlying kidney problem as well, which is also can be as a result of high blood pressure. So the main things, would be kidney problems, which present as back pain sometimes. Heart problems, which can present as chest pain, and headaches, which can, predispose to strokes, which is also a result of high blood pressure.
That's quite interesting. Quite interesting. And when talking about strokes, there's the causes of strokes. There's always these words that pop up, uncontrollable risk factors and controllable risk factors. Maybe can you touch upon those two phrases and break it down for us? Because I think if we can understand the controllable factors, maybe there's something that we can do to minimize the causes.
Okay, so the uncontrollable risk factors, I think the ones we've mentioned so far are things like if you have an underlying heart problem. So unfortunately, especially in children, it's something we can't avoid. If they're born with a heart condition or a valve problem in the heart, that predisposes them to strokes. And most people end up either needing heart replacement or valve replacement, and that's a surgical thing, that has to be planned for and takes time as well. But the controllable risk factors are the same ones, we've spoken about. So it's the high blood pressure, it's the high cholesterol, it's the diabetes. And how we as people can prevent, the kind of the severity of the stroke or the likelihood of getting a stroke would be to keep those under control. So a stroke itself, you can't really predict or prevent it itself, but you can treat the underlying cause, which is those three conditions I've mentioned. So a lot of the times, when people have strokes, it's because those medical conditions are not under control. So it's either, people are not taking medication, or people haven't been taught how to take their medication properly. People are so used to collecting chronic medication from the pharmacy, from the GP, and they're not always doing follow-up checks, because unfortunately with these conditions, you have to be rechecked at least every 6 months to check that the medication you're on is adequate for your condition. Sometimes maybe your diabetes or your blood pressure responds to medication initially, but later on you need to add more medications, or you need to adjust the dose. So, people need to do follow-ups as well. So that's on the healthcare providers to, give people dates to come back and follow up. And then there are other factors, unfortunately, that we can't control, like, if people are living in rural areas and they can't access medication, so those are other factors that contribute to people not taking their medication or not being treated well. And those are things I think that as a health system, we're trying to work on to make sure that these things are accessible to everyone, regardless of location, regardless of, how much they make and, where they live and all that. So yeah, it's there's a few factors involved, but those are the, the main ones that affect people being treated.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.